Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Della Torre back after missing last week. Sorry, guys.
Nah, man. Sorry. Don't apologize to us, man. We sorry. We was feeling sorry for you.
Stuck in the ballpark. How long were you there, Nick? 10 hours? 11 hours?
Unbelievable that I'm going to say this, but Graham Hall was the smartest person in the press box.
Big Graham fan, but
yeah,
he's a big tapestry guy.
Bob Ross himself. So it started as a lightning delay. So there was like a solid 2 hour of the 5.5 hour window where I could have gotten in my car and driven the 8 minutes home, and didn't do that. And then it started raining sideways for 3.5 hours.
I got to question your judgment. Why didn't you, right? Because you have a 30-minute time between the last strike of lightning and when they can play again, right? 30 or 40 minutes, right? So at that point, you have somebody there. Then you should be like, hey, just give me the heads up, right? You can be hanging out with Boomer. You can be hanging out with Norman. Yep.
No,
you could have been a ball. So you could have been a lot of places, and you just chose to sit in a room and avoid the pod.
Yeah, we could have left and gone home. Didn't and just slowly lost my sanity.
I think he was trying to shake the people, man.
Yeah.
He was trying to shake the people. I don't know, man. You said you just a hat on the table, then you just been incognito and a little ghost ever since, man.
Well
we're about to find out. Just a couple days away.
5 days away.
Well, clearly we're not just a hat on the table at this point, but I like where we stand regardless. We'll talk about that later. How was y'all weekend?
Oh, it was good, man. What did I do Friday? Oh, I went. So it's pool party season here in Tampa. So I had tickets to go to a pool party on Saturday, which was a blast. Guy by the name of Rehab, big name, does a lot of remixes of like songs everybody knows. So the weather looks great. Then all of a sudden, Tampa just has this thing where it just creates storms out of nowhere. But for the most part, they're gone in 20, 30 minutes, right? Typical Florida, typical Tampa. Well, so we all go, there's a group of like 10 or 12 of us that go, and there's probably 1,000 people, maybe 800 people there at this place over in here in Tampa. We get there and all of a sudden the sky opens up, right? And I was like, okay, well, this is a traditional Florida storm. It's going to be gone in 20 minutes. Bro, if I don't tell you, it rained almost sideways for probably 2.5 out of the 4 hours that we were there. So no lightning, vibes were heavy, just dancing in the rain. A little DJ action in the rain. Crowd cleared down to about 150 people, but all in all, great time, great vibes. Relaxed on Friday, relaxed on Sunday. Shout out to Rehab.
A little butterfly effect. So that I didn't know what concert these girls from Orlando were heading to Tampa for something, and they end up coming to the Kush House for an event. And they said, hey, we was heading to Tampa for this concert, and this guy it started raining, so we just turned around. Because our friends in Tampa said it was raining all day. So butterfly effect, man, we had some people that mentioned that.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, you know, I'm relatively cool new into like EDM and DJ concert scene. But this is a guy that everybody knows, right? Yeah, he's in Vegas. He goes to all the big places all around the country, all around the world, plays at all the big festivals and stuff. So I was super excited because I found out about a month and a half ago that he's coming. I'm like, perfect. It is a little hot. But normally, like I said, the rain just kind of flies through. And so we were all pumped and excited. We had a group of 10. We're going to meet probably, you know, 10, 12 other people that we knew where they were there. And vibes were thrown off a little bit, but we made the most of it. So So not too shabby for me. What about you, Silk?
Just relaxed for the most part, man. I was working at the Kushaws, but not working, man. Been delegating a little bit better. So I relaxed a lot this weekend. Got some work done, but relaxed. Nothing eventful, I don't think. What was my Sunday like? Yeah, I don't think I did anything.
Some days are the best. Food,
you know, took my daughter to a Sweet 16. Nothing special. Nick, how was your weekend?
Good. First weekend without baseball.
How's that feel?
Didn't know what to do with my hands.
Whoa.
Me girls out of town.
Get the girls out of town.
Girl was back in town this week. Spent some time with her. Planning a trip for, when is it? First week of August.
Where are you going?
Was looking at a couple places. She's from DC and I've never been, so we're thinking about DC.
I'll tell you, it's hot as the Dickens in August.
Yeah. And I was surprised. I was like, oh, we'll go see the cherry blossoms. She was like, oh, sweetie, that's like 1 week out of the year, and that's not right now.
No, sir.
I'm like, okay. And then looking at some places up in North Carolina, like
that's why I've been mountains.
Boone, Wilmington, yeah, like up there.
Opposite sides of the state, but
well, yeah, that, sure. we're just looking at like Airbnb at like different places, so not like tied into a location, just trying to find
whatever you find in some quaint mountains. That's what I've been looking, just South Carolina, Tennessee mountains, that type of vibe. Yeah,
like doesn't matter where it is, just hey, find like a nice cabin.
Some woods and a river, some
legendary views. It doesn't matter if I'm in, you know, West Virginia. I don't think I'd be in West Virginia. That'd be a bad example. But
yeah, I'm trying to go on a meth trip.
There's a lot of great places. Nick, Tennessee, North Carolina. If you guys are open, you can even head up to like the Catskills up in New York. That's a ton of fun. You can head all the way up north and hit up Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine. Beautiful spots up there. Beautiful vibes.
What are you doing, Nick? Are you going to fly and then are you driving up? That's my thing about the mountains. Like, how are you planning this out?
I think I was going to fly to DC. I think she wants to drive if we do North Carolina.
Yeah.
I would rent a car. I wouldn't take my car, like a little Acura, and try to drive my two-wheel drive Acura up and down mountains. I'd probably rent something four-wheel drive and not put the miles on my car. And then have something with four-wheel drive if we're going to be, you know, going to a cabin.
Yeah, you gotta get something fuel efficient these days if you're gonna drive somewhere.
Yeah, that's the vibes.
That's true.
Because 9 out of 10, wherever you're going, is gonna be like remote as hell. It's like we're hanging out a little bit, man. Shout out to this is classic roll up network vibes right here, man. Shout out to just us hanging out real quick. Eventually we gotta talk some football.
All right. Well, let's get into the show. We got Brad Wilkerson, former Florida Gators baseball player, joining us a little bit later. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friend over at Allen Horn Insurance. Go visit Allen Horn Insurance. It's HORNE insurance.com or give them a call 706-692-2888. If you're in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Alabama, car insurance, home insurance, renters, life, business insurance, retirement planning, whatever it might be, give Alan a call, 706-692-2888.
Can I get Alan some love real quick?
You sure can.
Shout out to Alan Horn, man. I appreciate hit Alan up. I had an interview that I was shooting over at the studio, the Kushaws, with Janoris Jenkins. Hit him up and was going to probe around and ask a bunch of sponsors, man. But I appreciate Alan for just pulling up and taking care of me, man. And just a dope interview. We put out some trailers from that today. That'll be dropping Friday later on this week. But appreciate you, Alan. Solid dude. Gator take care of Gators, man.
Yeah, Alan's a great guy, great sponsor of this show. So, again, if you are in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, or Tennessee, give him a call. Gentlemen, the men's and women's track team headed out to Eugene, Oregon this past week.
Did some work.
Gators end up as national champions in men's track and field on Friday, and then on Saturday become the women's track and field champions in the outdoor events. Gentlemen, Mouse Holloway.
Big Mouse.
Got to go down as the greatest coach in UF history. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, that's
12 of them things, man.
he's got to be already
yeah,
the greatest coach in history. I saw Mary Wise tweeted they need to change Stadium Road to Mouse or Mike Hollow Way with the way capitalized.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like the pun in that and the wordplay there.
But it's pretty incredible.
Holloway and Gale, we can work with it.
might have to talk to him about that. but yeah, it's pretty incredible. The women won the indoor and outdoor, so just dominated the entire track season. And the men, I think it was Friday night, had an incredible comeback. I think they scored like 54 points, 45 points. Might be dyslexic there. To come back and win first place.
Yeah, 54 points.
Talia Diggs is not to be messed around with on the women's side. And that 4x team for the men, I think they are they ran two sub 49s or something like that, or two sub something, and they're the only collegiate team to run sub in the history of I'm trying to look it up right now.
Yeah, no, let's go through this real quick, Nick. So
it's a list.
Yeah, so the Gators do get 54 points on Friday, capturing the men's fifth overall outdoor national championship. There have been 24 contested national champions between indoor and outdoor in the men's side since 2010. And the Gators have won 10 of those 24, both 5 indoor and 5 outdoor. It's Mike Holloway's 11th national championship, 10 on the women's side, and then now 2 on the women's side. When this article was written, it was just 1. So 12 total national championships for him. The Gators, let's see, the 4x100 meter relay ran a 38.52, missing out on first place by 0.03 seconds. But then Joseph Fanboule won the 100 and the 200. I'm not sure if you guys watched him run the 100, but he was in last place for probably the first 35 meters. And then he just stormed back and ended up winning. I think he took the lead with about 20 meters to go, crossing the finish line at exactly 10 seconds flat to win the 100 meters. And then he also won the 200 meters in a time of 19.83 to also win that national title, which is the 4th all-time in NCAA history, and gave him back-to-back NCAA indoor-outdoor championships in the 200-meter race. So unbelievable performance. Shout-out to the following individuals that scored points for the Gators. The men's 4x100. The men's 4x100 came in both first and second. Ryan Willey came in 5th in the 400. Champion Allison came in 2nd. Joseph Fanboule came in 1st in the 200. Derek Van Over came in 5th in the 100. And then Joseph Fanboule came in 1st in the 100. So congratulations to them. Big, resounding win. I had 54 total points. Texas had 38. They finished in 2nd. And then, not to be outdone, on Saturday, the women's track and field team also takes home the title, beating Texas, who came in 2nd with 64 points. Point getters for the Gators: Talitha Diggs finished 1st in the 400.
Imagine, AC on? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I hit the camera. I'm sorry.
Imagine Barrett came in 4th in the 800. Parker Valby came in 2nd in the 5,000 meters. Anna Hall came in 2nd in the heptathlon. Vanessa Watson came in 7th in the heptathlon. Jasmine Moore came in 1st in the triple jump. Natricia Hooper came in 6th. And I'm sorry, Anna Hall and Vanessa Watson were in the 400-meter hurdles. Anna Hall came in 1st. In the heptathlon, and then Sterling Lester came in 5th in the heptathlon. So truly an outstanding performance by all of them. Again, Gators women's win the national championship on Saturday, followed by the men, or following the men who did it on Friday. So
Diggs ran 49.99 in the 400, which is the fastest time in America this year for a woman.
Moving.
4th in the world. 5th fastest collegiate time ever. And at 19, the youngest American in history to run sub 50 in the 400.
That's incredible.
So she's the real deal.
Yeah, so that gives the Gators men's national championships in indoor in 2010, 2011, 12, 18, 19, outdoor 2012, 13, 16, 17, and 22, and the women indoor 92 and 22, and then outdoor in 22. 9 NCAA event titles, 8 SEC event titles for the women, 11 school records. Just truly an outstanding year for men's track and field. And congratulations to Jasmine Moore and Anna Hall, who are up for the Honda Sport Award in track and field. So we will find out a little bit later next week, I believe. Congratulations to them. Moore was a national champion in long jump and triple jump. And then obviously we've talked about Anna Moore being the NCAA outdoor heptathlon national champion and outdoor runner up in the 400 meter hurdle. So congratulations to both of them, but congratulate to all the men and women in track and field. Any more thoughts there, gentlemen?
No, man. Just great stuff, man. Shout out to Moss and shout out to the ladies. Just very impressive, man. Premier program. Mm. Creme de la creme. What you got, Nick?
Nick, talk to us about baseball. Finish our season, and then we got a firing and we got a hiring.
Yeah. Craig Bell was fired. He'd been with Sully for 15 years. When Kevin O'Sullivan got the job at Florida, he brought Craig Bell and Brad Weitzel with him. Weitzel was fired 3 years ago, so Weitzel was with him for 12 years. Talked with somebody who said Brad kind of knew that it was coming. His house had been on the market for some time in Gainesville. It's really just a Florida going or Kevin O'Sullivan going younger. The hire Taylor Black is my age. we were in high school at the same time. He was from South Carolina, went to a couple schools, ended up at Kentucky. Had 4 years of coaching experience at NC State before he moved on. He's the last 3 years he's been a cross checker, which is a scout in the Tigers organization.
What exactly is the title, the role?
Job title? He'll be an assistant coach. So in baseball, you only have three coaches. One's the head coach, and then you have two paid assistants. So he's one of the two paid assistants.
Gotcha. So he'll join David Kopp as the two paid. Do they still have any?
Kopp is not paid.
Kopp's volunteer
assistant. Yeah. So Chuck Drolleman, who came from USF. Chuck works with the infielders. Bell works with the hitters and the outfielders. And Taylor's past experience is as an infielder. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of delineate, you know, those responsibilities.
Nick, I have a question out of pure ignorance. Why is it that baseball has so few coaches on paid staff? Why does the NCAA limit? Is there a reason? It just seems like if you can afford it and give these kids an opportunity, you're kind of already shafting a lot of them. Yep. With a lack of scholarships, right? Yep. And I totally understand why. That's not a dig at any reason why, but you already have a limited number of scholarships, and now it seems like you limit coaching as well. It seems like we don't limit them anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, Billy Napier's got how many on his staff?
I mean, Florida has more quality control analysts and assistants than baseball has entirely.
Florida has more
with the program.
Florida has more offensive line quality control assistants than baseball can have coaches. They tried to make it three paid assistants a couple of years back, needed a unanimous vote among the Power Five, and the Big Ten balked at that, voted no. I think we're probably getting closer to that being voted on again and getting that, because with fewer coaching, you're just creating less opportunities for coaches. And we can talk to Brad about this. Brad's been coaching at JU for some time now. With only two paid assistant coaches, you're creating less job opportunity for young coaches to break into the game and to advance their careers. You're also creating hardships for the assistant coaches. David Kopp was a paid coach at FAU and made the decision to leave a paid position to come to Florida because it's a possibility. You're on a bigger stage, and now he is basically, they run baseball camps in the summer, and that's what the volunteer assistants make their money off of. So he's got to hope that you get some campers in over the summer, and he's got to run all those camps. So I don't know what the NCAA's justification was for only having two. We could ask Brad. And the holdup was the Big Ten voting against it. I think it was like 4 years ago now.
Is it because the Big Ten's poor?
Sounds
like it's just not – baseball's not the same up there. Like Michigan's got a really good coach, and they've had some success. But those programs aren't pulling in money like a Mississippi State and LSU and Arkansas and Ole Miss. Just looking at,
what are you truly looking at for an assistant baseball coach
in terms of 100, like
150?
I don't even know. Like maybe
I don't, I'm just throwing out random numbers here, right? Like
I've never requested the baseball coach's contract.
Hey, can you do a FOIA request for me? I would do one, but I don't totally know how to do that. I'm just curious to know what, because I mean, I would imagine that they're not getting paid pennies, but I can't imagine they're getting paid.
I'd probably say
into the six figures. Right. So like them limiting them at two coaches sounds like just ridiculous to me.
These programs aren't making money. Like there's very, like LSU most years will run in the black. I think Florida occasionally for baseball has run in the black, but like they're not going to.
Do you think maybe if they had more coaches, you could put a better product on the field, which would attract more viewers, which would then make more money?
No, I don't think that.
Well, if a school wants to pay for more assistance, why are you limited them? Like, why? For what reason? If I have more money, more resources, I should be able to use it.
Yeah, like the adding more scholarships, I get that. You know, they're talking about competitive balance. Like, you got a bunch of guys from the state of Florida. There's so much talent, baseball talent in the state of Florida. Like, the big three schools can't take them all. So you see kids go to Vanderbilt. Tommy White, who's a freshman All-American up at NC State, he's in the transfer portal. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. I thought he was going to go to FSU. But they just fired Meat. They fired Mike Martin Jr. Only took him, took dad 40 years to build a program and took Meat to tear it down. So they got rid of him. I thought nepotism would get you 3 years. Apparently it only affords you two. So it'll be interesting to see where FSU goes and if that affects, you know, their transfer portal or guys leaving FSU as well. Adding scholarships might affect competitive balance. I don't think adding a coach would affect competitive balance, but you're going to get, you know, you would still have a volunteer assistant. So now you'd have four coaches. And that's just going to help the players and help the development of young baseball players, no matter where you are. Some schools might not be able to afford that in a program that is already losing money. Would a Stetson be able to afford another coach? And then that's where, you know, you might have some smaller schools start, you know, saying, hey, the competitive balance isn't fair. We have to compete against Florida, who already has more money, and now they have an extra coach, and we just can't afford that in our program. Baseball is one of the sports that, unfortunately, like when you get into like Title IX, adding and subtracting sports, baseball's a sport that gets knocked out of a lot of places. It's one of the first ones to get kicked out because it's an expensive sport. You have a big roster, Equipment's expensive. You're traveling a big roster, you know, 30, 35 guys. It's an expensive sport. So it gets cut a lot. And I think that adding another coach, you know, could lead to some other schools probably canceling their baseball programs, which is not what you want to see. But I think overall it would benefit the players.
Well, what do we think of this, the new coach, Nick? I know that he came from NC State, came from the Tigers. I know that you mentioned him briefly. I think we got a little sidetracked. Is this a name that you had heard? Obviously, Florida makes a move pretty quickly. I mean, I know you said they didn't put his house on the market and everything else, so he knew it was coming. But was this a name that, you had heard or been connected to the program at all? Or is there a connection back to Sully?
No, there's no connection back to Sully. Taylor Black is someone who I think was on Sully's radar when he was at NC State. But it also kind of goes back to how he built Florida. Craig and Brad were both cross-checkers, both had MLB scouting, you know, in their background, and that's what Taylor was doing. So I think it kind of goes back to how he built the program. And for me, he's a young guy. I mean, he's 33 years old.
Yeah.
And knows intimately, you know, because he is cross-checker, knows intimately how to recruit, how to evaluate talent. And I think that's kind of where Sully has been going. If you look at the moves they've made, not that Lars Davis was old, and I loved Lars, but Kopp is a young guy. Chuck's a young guy.
Yeah, but if your name is Lars, Black, we know where your age bracket is. So
his name's what?
His name.
He was Canadian. It might be different up there.
I Nick is a big hockey fan. I know a lot about Canadians, and I just don't think that Lars is on the most common names of people.
How do you look at a baby and name it Lars?
See, Lars.
That's a fantastic question. So I don't know. What?
Lars is like 36 years old.
Oh well.
He was born in 85. He's 1 year older than you, Dan.
Yeah, well, what year? 85?
85.
That's a 2 years. 3 years.
I thought you were 87.
88, baby. January, but still 88, baby.
Barely.
Well, Nick, we'll be excited to see what happens there. Any other movement that you expect in baseball? Obviously Gators do lose to Oklahoma in a game that we were talking about live during rain delay. And we were assured that we thought that the Gators would come out ahead. They're winning 2-1 when we finished recording, end up getting beat pretty badly. Nick, what changes do you expect other than Nick Pogue not being in a Gator uniform next year?
Yeah, I was interested to see that Pogue hit the transfer portal. He's going to be drafted. And I expect him to sign.
Why would he enter the portal?
I don't know. I don't know. I need to call him tonight.
Are you trying to be sassy a little bit?
Sassy?
Yeah, if you're going to the league, right?
Yeah.
If you're getting drafted, why enter the portal?
Like, so gives you a bunch of options.
But no, I don't think that's it. I think you're trying to send a message, right? I mean, Nick Pogue's what, a top couple round draft pick, right?
He should be, but he, you know, it's kind of like when he was talking, his dad's a physical therapist. When we were talking with him, he was like, you know, his velo is down. So like when he came as a freshman, he was throwing 93, 95 this year.
Velocity.
This year, not cracking 91. You know, he's sitting 88 to 90. And at 6'5" right-hander, you look at the MLB right now, look at how fast guys are throwing. Like that's not getting the job done anymore. So he said, you know, 18 to 24 months for the velocity to return. So that's something that teams will have to project. And the MLB draft is a ton of projection because these guys aren't, it's not like the NFL draft or the NBA. It's like, hey, you're not drafting these guys and they're going straight to the majors. You're sending them to single A. And you might not get them on the major league team for best case 3 years. So you're projecting far out. So teams might look at that velo and say, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, he's in 3 years, he'll be back to throwing 95 and back to what he was, you know, when he was a freshman sophomore. So I expect him to be drafted in the top 10 rounds and you would sign, because he's a, actually, I think he's like a COVID. The COVID still messed me up. I think he's like a third year or a fourth year sophomore, because he had a redshirt year and a COVID year. But like age wise, he is a senior. So that's another thing you have to consider, is like, okay, well, if I'm going to enter the draft again at 23, now if you get sent to single A at 23, you're old to mm-hmm. be there. Yeah. So there's a lot of factors go into it. So him entering the transfer portal caught me off guard, because I just expected him to be.
I like my take.
Send the message. And then Matt Cassetti, who's a catcher, entered the transfer portal as well. I'd gotten a buddy of mine out in Texas had texted me like 3 weeks ago. I was like, hey, I'm hearing Matt Cassetti's going to enter the transfer portal. And I was like, what? Just like during the Gator, like in the middle of the Gators run. And like Matt Cassetti was just like getting back in the lineup. But to me, it makes sense. He was a great teammate. When Renee Lastres went down, Matt Cassetti and Abite Riopelle was catching, you know, the majority of the games, if not every single game. Mac had to catch all the bullpens. Whenever a guy's warming up, he had to be down there in the bullpen. If the catcher makes the last out, they're not dressed, Matt Cassetti would run in full catcher's gear from the outfield down to warm the pitcher up. 18-year-old Nick sure as hell would have told my coach where he could stick it if he wanted me to do all that. Mm. So Mac was a good teammate, even though was kind of getting shafted with playing time. So it didn't surprise me much. He'll go somewhere. Watch out for Tennessee. Tennessee needs a catcher really bad. And Matt Cassetti is an SEC caliber player.
Yo, speaking of Tennessee, how awesome was that to watch them lose yesterday, man?
Shout out to my man. What's my guy? My guy, Billy. Shout out to Billy on Twitter, man. He never misses at moments like this, man. But a beautiful thing to see Tennessee have that great season and wet the bed a little bit at the end there.
They were one of the best college baseball teams I'd ever seen. They did everything at an elite level.
Disrespect our locker room, too.
Including their levels of disrespect on and
that's
on.
That's what makes it. I saw a tweet yesterday that said, if you can get the entire nation to root for Notre Dame to beat you, you know that you're hating.
Right, right.
Tennessee's levels of disrespect were like the Russian and Rocky.
Mm.
Just like they were like that.
Yeah, he
cocky.
Was wildly disrespectful.
They were Russian and Rocky. I don't know if that's Rocky IV or whatever Rocky it is. They were Russian and Rocky cocky, and they certainly rallied in America around Rocky, aka Notre Dame, last weekend. But that's a team. I mean, you had Jordan Beck flicking off during a double to go ahead against Georgia Tech, flicking off the entire outfield.
Bro, that's nuts.
Yeah, that was incredible.
That's just egregious.
You got to lose, man. Like, at some point, you're not going to win with that energy.
In game one of the – he's going F-U-M-F-er, bird flying while rounding the bases on his way to second. Play is live.
When you're doing that, you just with that energy, you build up the pressure, like unnecessary pressure, right?
That was the energy they had all year. They like, they went like in wrestling terms, they went like full heel from like week one, and then just leaned into it the whole year. Like, their reporters were even asking them about it. They're like, yeah, if people hate us, that's good. We want them to. And it's like, well, you're doing an awesome job.
It's a terrible strategy, man.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely had the entire world rooting against them. So, I'm here for. I'm here for disappointing Tennessee fans.
I've nicknamed him. He's the collegiate bat flip home run pimp job king, Drew Gilbert. He turned around after, I think it was a 0-1 count. So one pitch into an at bat, turned around and MF'd an umpire about balls and strikes, gets tossed because you can't turn around call.
Right, can't do that, yeah.
Can't turn around on a ball, on a strike call and call the umpire an MF-er and call him terrible. You're going to get run every single time. And then acted shocked. Was just incredulous that he had gotten run from the game. I'm like, hey, man, you're 21 years old. You've probably been playing this game 14 years of your life. You know you can't do that.
Right. Well, especially baseball. Baseball is like a sport. I mean, so kind of you played too. My brother played. My dad played in college. So, like, I've seen, I mean, it's a sport of just kind of unwritten rules and things that you do, things that you don't do, a level of respect that you have for teams, right? And I know that some of those rules are changing, but I mean,
there's some words you can't say to an umpire.
I'm here for it, man. I'm excited that they made it. I'm glad that they were the number one seed. I'm glad they had a super regional. I'm glad it went to game three. And then I'm glad they got there. The only thing that would have been better, Nick, is like a – obviously they were the away – Notre Dame was the away team. But something Notre Dame – or something walk-off by Notre Dame would have been amongst the greatest things in the world. And you know what would have been even cooler, Nick, is if they flicked off the outfield while they were hitting a home run. But
that would have been, yeah, that would have been good.
As I've always said,
you should write movies, Dan.
Go Irish, right? As I said that one Sunday, go Irish. Last time I'll say that. So we got a new sponsor. You want to shout them out real quick? Still waiting on Brad.
Of course, of course. Shout out to the great folks at the Graham Co. We're bringing on a new sponsorship to the entire network. What's the coupon code? Get that coupon code for me already. Visit thegrahamco.com. Use coupon code SG25 at checkout for 25% off gummies with flavors of fruit punch, blue raspberry, and watermelon. They also have pre-rolls. If you're not into the THC or smoking or edibles, they have CBD capsules. A brand called Sativadol, which is also very good for pain relief. If you have joint pain, muscle pain, they have the roll-on, or they have capsules. Everything that Graham Co. delivers is federally legal. So you don't want to worry about the feds or the police watching you at the mailbox or anything like that. Coupon code SG25 at checkout for 25% off THC Delta 8 gummies. That's it.
Perfect. Well, welcome, Graham Co. I know that they've been sponsoring the Roll-Up for a while. I know that they've been sponsoring some spaces and some other things. So we're glad to welcome them to the Stadium and Gale family. Boys, we are just a few days away from the Gators being a hat on the table for Jane Rashada's announcement in 5 days. He just wrapped up a visit.
Do you think it's going to be a visor or a hat? Bucket hat? Gas store station hat? What you got, Dan? What type of hat you think it's going
to
be?
I might have to send like a visor just so I can get away from this hat on the table comment. I might have to send a helmet. Send anything but a hat.
Like, I told you it wouldn't be a hat.
Told you they weren't a hat. He had a live gator on set.
Yeah.
Remember that? So when we were talking last week, Jane Rashada was just about to start his official visit that spanned Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. Some elite vibes came out of that. Some incredible pictures. Hugh Hathcock, the founder of the Gator Guard, also just donated about close to $13 million to the university, pulled up in his blue Lamborghini. We got some elite photography out of that. Seemed like the visit went really well.
Sticker price on that, Dan?
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine we're talking at least $200.
Yeah, it depends on which lamb it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be more than two.
I mean, it easily could, right?
Also, I'm seeing people sitting on it. People are sitting on my lamb. I'm like, hey, man, there's two seats in there. You sit in those. Sit on top.
That's why you ain't got the Lambo.
That's absolutely right.
The guy with the Lambo ain't worried about that, man.
that's probably true. the guy that just made the largest single donation.
Take it around the block, kids.
It's
more where that came from.
Here are the keys.
They Lambos are stick? Are they like Tiptronic?
Not making automatic.
That's what I thought. I figured, right?
That thing's probably automatic. Like, there's so many people with money that like don't know how to drive stick that just want that car as a flex.
I hope Lamborghini's not making automatic engines. I'm sure they are. Nerds.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure we got some gearheads listening. There's definitely
too many kids are renting these things at like proms and stuff. So I believe it. Mm-hmm. Right? There's too many kids that like driving these things to like random junior proms.
I have not yet had the opportunity to ride or drive a Lamborghini. So let us know in the comments. But that beautiful blue, Lamborghini does show up, makes it inside the swamp. I know there were a number of recruits getting taken around around town in the Lamborghini. We're hearing some good things, but what are your thoughts before we go into a June 18th announcement date for Jane Rashada?
Hold on, bring it this MSRP real quick. Man.
What do we got?
Depends on which one you got, man. If you got the Contact, that's $2 million. The Aventador is $500K. The Hurricane is $206K.
I think that he's got one of the top two. Having spoken to Hugh
500.
Before. Yeah. Having talked to Hugh before and knowing the lifestyle that he lives, I don't see him. If there's an opportunity.
Oh, I see that blue. It's an Aventador. It's an Aventador.
Okay. So what'd you say, 500?
500, man. 500K.
You can get the hell off my hood. Get your dirty khakis off my hood, my $500,000 car.
I need Alan Horn to tell me how much it would cost to insure a car like that.
Right.
Couldn't even afford the insurance on that car.
His insurance just went up after they seen him, all the kids driving around the block.
Oh, man.
Straight cash, homie.
So we got 4-star, 5-star Jane Rashada making his announcement on the 18th. Any thoughts, anything final that you want to say? It looks to be a Florida, Miami, Texas A&M.
I don't know why you mentioned Miami.
Battle.
People not in this.
Yeah, no, I don't think that they are either. I know Oregon's, involved. I know Chad Simmons was pumping the tires of Miami. I was just reading his article about it. That's the only reason I mentioned them. But Oregon, Florida, maybe Texas A&M.
Yeah, I think the reason I don't think Miami's in it because the father's or the situation, the camp is looking for a head coach or offensive coordinator situation that's going to be solidified. Mario isn't a quarterback coach.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever his OC is, when they leave, likely his offense and a little, some things are going to change. Billy is the quarterback coach, the head coach, and the offensive coordinator. So it's a lot of stability there, mm-hmm. I would say, that the family likes. So I like where we're at with where we at. But we have back-to-back visits, Father's Day this weekend. He was with the Blue Lamb. I just feel good about where we at in his recruitment. I think we're going to land this kid, man. But everything goes down on June 18th. And I think this is a message. Our board changed. A lot of things changed when we land this kid. I'm going to speak it to existence. What you got, Nick, Mr. Hat on the table?
Florida needs a quarterback. This would be a good one. I think he's
that's a take.
You tried Billy a little bit. You tried Billy, man.
I tried him?
Yeah, you tried Billy. You said we just had a hat on the table, bro. You tried Billy Napier a little bit.
You did.
You tried him, man. And our logo a little bit. I said we got three. I got statues outside, Nick. How are we going to be just a hat on the table? When you come on a visit, you got to be like, man, my statue could be right there. I gotta give you a hard time, man.
I'm gonna eat a lot of crow if Jaden Rashada commits to Florida, but that's fine. Like,
We already got the edits pulled. We got the audio pulled.
Fantastic. great for me. That's what. But like, hey, listen, I had more fun. Like going to Atlanta covering SEC championships, and I had covering 4-win teams. Like, if Florida's gonna get a good quarterback, I'm down for it. Like, I'm ready to have to like cover a good football team.
I mean, that's a bold take, Nick.
I don't think it's that bold. I had much more fun.
Hey, Silk, you heard that? Nick had more fun covering teams that won than teams that lost.
Big take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is a huge domino. Gators need this one. If they don't,
I'm gonna talk crazy. We get this kid, man. I've been humble and chill, man.
You're talking like John Ruiz before he went public.
Yeah, John Ruiz when he was a billionaire.
Assuming that the Gators do land his commitment, which I know is a big assumption, but assuming that they do, what do you guys think? Give me some floor and ceiling of where you think the Gators should get our recruiting class wise. what's reasonable?
Nothing has changed for me. I said top five. Mm-hmm. I need a top five class. We spent a lot of money. We got 1 million recruiters on campus. The I-4 is loaded. State is loaded. We got some 5 stars in Pope. We should be able to do what we need to do, man. Aiden Mizell, those guys in Orlando, man, this is our wheelhouse, man. This is a perfect year to be the first year head coach with all these resources, man. So the Blue Lambo's in town. They got top five class. That's where I got us at.
Nick?
That's where we need to be.
Top five.
Don't overcompensate. You might overcompensate. Now you did the hat on the table. Now you probably try to overcompensate. You like two top two class.
I don't think they're gonna be top two. I don't think they'll be top three in the SEC. I think they won't be top two in the SEC.
I think that'll be tough.
Bama, right? Yeah, Bama and Georgia. A&M, we may be fourth in the ACC, in SEC.
That's the problem. Like you can be top 10 every year and fourth in the SEC. And it doesn't matter that you're out recruiting, you know, FSU. If you're fourth in your conference, so that stuff takes time though. Like you're fighting an uphill battle, I think, and that's where the transfer portal changes so much. But you're fighting an uphill battle because like the recruits that Billy Napier was like trying to get at UL aren't going to beat Texas A&M. They aren't going to beat Georgia. They aren't going to beat Alabama. So you've got to start whole new relationships, and now you're going up against the GOAT in Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. You're going up against Texas Mafia oil money, and the reigning
now
national
more
champion
than ever too.
Yeah, and against the reigning national champion with kids who have had relationships with those coaches, those staffs for 3-4 years, and you're just walking in, you know, hey, Bill Napier from Lafayette, what's going on? And like, oh, I don't know, Nick Saban's on the phone. Can you hold on, please? So you're fighting an uphill battle to start. And I think we've talked about Florida would be a little bit more active in the transfer portal. I guess they have been. They got like 7 guys from the portal.
Yeah.
But you might have to do that again this year. And you know, I used to always say that like recruiting, when you get a new coach, like they're like 3 years behind, especially with quarterbacks. So it would be incredible to get Jaden Rashada. That's a huge domino in the quarterback, you know, recruiting for this year. And then it sets you up. Because I think Anthony Richardson, if he has the type of year that I'm expecting, is probably gone after this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're looking at, you know, Jack Miller, Jalen Kitna, and you tell Jaden Rashada, like, hey, AR-15 is gone after this year. Redshirt freshman, that's your year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I think everybody, you know, go back to what you said about the transfer portal, I think a lot of schools were anticipated to be more active this year. I just don't think that we saw as much activity as we've seen in previous years.
They changed the scholarship count a little bit as well. So I think that changes maybe some teams pushing players out.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Florida still has some needs where they still need to visit the transfer portal, I think. I think that Florida this year, bar none, has to beat FSU in recruiting, has to beat Miami in recruiting. And I think they need to finish in the top four or top five of SEC recruiting, which is tough, right? But that's what Florida needs to do to win, right? They need to, you know, they're probably not going to beat Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama off the bat, right? So they have to try to beat everybody else. So they have to beat LSU. They have to beat Tennessee. They have to beat, you know, those are probably your two biggest that are going to be fighting over that spot. Right, because SEC's not getting any easier anytime soon. Right, you have Oklahoma and Texas coming in the next few years. Right, and you can say what you want about their programs and how they're not built for the SEC and everything else. There's still great programs that are going to still come in and compete. So you need to consistently.
They're going to recruit, especially Texas.
Like, oh yeah,
any program in Texas got that duffel. They're going to recruit.
Yep, and then so you need to be top five. You need to be probably top four this year, and then you need to be right there in the top three over the next few years, or it's just not going to be sustainable for you to survive.
Correct.
So let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Visit them, homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word, to get 15% off of your order. They did just drop a new Florida t-shirt the other day. It is the baseball script logo that they wear on their white jerseys.
Those
on Sunday. They are beautiful shirts. Again, best cotton,
best quality, best retro gear in the game. Visit them, homefieldapparel.com. Promo code Stadium and Gale. Maybe you're looking to buy something for a boss, a spouse, a relative, a friend. They have over 40 different schools that they have products for. So again, homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. Let's see. Silk, any other additional thoughts on recruiting that you want to go over? I know that, you know, the Gators had a big weekend again in
We talk about shout out to Ahmad Black, man. Cremoni McClain transferred from Lake Gibson High School to Lakeland High School, the Dreadnoughts. And Ahmad's in that secondary. It's a secondary coach over there. So shout out to that transfer, man. Cremoni is top dog on our board, probably number one overall. Very important recruit, five star. What you got? What's your opinion on that, Dan?
I mean, first off, Lakeland is stacked. That's an incredible backfield that they have, and I think they have some players on the offensive side of the ball too. I think that's going to be an awesome opportunity for Ahmad. You know, Ahmad obviously is a good friend and love to see him have the opportunity to climb the coaching ladder as he chooses and desires to have the ability to coach a guy like Cremoni McClain and add that to the backfield is awesome. It certainly doesn't hurt that the Gators do have a former player as their coach. And, you know, right now it does seem like Florida's in not only the driver's seat of Cremoni McClain's recruitment, but certainly seems like they are in the driver's seat of a passenger van where we got some teams all the way in the back row. So hopefully Florida can continue to recruit and, you know, gain his commitment, because that's a recruiting class changing get right there. I mean, that's the kind of guy that people want to play with.
I'm using pen to put Cremoni in the class.
You're using the pen.
Using the pen.
I'm with you, man. I locked that in.
Yeah.
It's Lakeland, dog. Like, come on. I think Rashada ends up a five-star at the end of this cycle. I think Rashada ends up a five-star when it's all said and done. They dropped a star from him. They know we're about to get him. You know how the streets be, Nick. They took a star because he's about to be a Gator, man. But we'll get it back, man. The final rankings is already good. The top 38 going to be five stars, so y'all don't sweat that. Just vibe out. So that, I got that two five-stars right there that anchors that class down. And I think relationships kind of got both of those, Nick. We're saying how like it takes 3 years to get relationships, but – relationship that Billy had with Rashada's father may land us Rashada. We haven't got him yet. And also with Cremoni McClain. Clearly that's relationships. And also Corey Raymond relationships with every DB, elite DB in the country. He's already had established relationship at LSU. So wherever he goes, he's already been recruiting these guys, man. And players want to play for him. I think McClain and Rashada, two guys that can anchor this thing down, both landed off relationships.
I think Cremoni would have even committed to Dan Mullen.
We haven't gotten
Cremoni. I think Cremoni just wanted to be.
I don't know. Cremoni likes Bama. Do not be fooled. Cremoni likes Bama a lot.
Listen, everyone likes Bama. You walk
that's
in,
what I'm saying. Exactly. And everybody ends up there a lot too, right? So I don't want to talk too crazy. I know from like just behind the scenes that he does like Bama a lot, bro. It's what they do with DBs. Nick Saban is probably. If Corey Raymond's a DB coach's GOAT, like Nick Saban's got to be like the founding forefather or some shit.
He's on the Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely. Like the DB coaches he's put out, the players he's put out, like he's the guy. So like the way he can sell to DBs, it's just different. But I like where we at.
If Rashada comes to Florida and Cremoni doesn't, whenever we talk recruiting, I'm just going to have to like cut my mic off. Turn the camera off and just walk out the room.
Scree said they need you to say it's just a hat on the table for Cremoni and we good.
That's my code. It's like, oh, listen, if Nick thinks there's no chance, Gator.
So somebody put it on my tweet. I put a tweet. I don't know if you've seen it, but I put it out there. And under there, somebody said, "Hey, have him say the same thing about Cremoni tonight."
That's how we need to judge how confident Nick is on a recruit coming or not coming. How many hats on the table would Nick have?
Right.
I have one hat on the table.
Five hats on the table. Five hats on the table. He's really capping.
That's my level of confidence. How many hats?
So much pun there, man. You're really capping if you got five hats on the table.
Five hats on the table.
Five Nick hats.
Five Nick hats.
Five Nick hats. So since we last chatted, the Gators, as we talked about, did have Jaden Rashada visit this past weekend as well. Malik Bryant was in town. Raylan Wilson, the Michigan linebacker commit, was in town. Derek LeBlanc was in town. And I saw an article that said that this is his eighth unofficial visit to the Gators. So
that's a lot.
That is a lot. I don't know outside.
Gas is hot too.
I don't know what more you're looking for out of a visit other than just vibing out and maybe liking the attention. No slight at him for selling.
That's a lot of money for clout, man.
That's a lot of visits. TJ Searcy,
but I'm not gonna be driving you back and forth to UF for clout, man. Gas is too high, bro.
Peyton Kirkland, we'll talk about that in a second. Will Norman, four-star defensive lineman, and then Gators offensive line commit Najee Harris was on campus. So the Gators do host Janelle Aguero starting tomorrow, as well as Francis Mayoga, the five-star offensive lineman.
Magua.
There you
go. Look at me teaching you how to say something.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Then this weekend, they have AJ Harris, Eugene Wilson, Monroe Freeling, Keldrick Falk, Cameron James, Bryce Thornton, Caden McDonald, Reed McKeska, Isaiah Nixon, Tommy Kinsler, and then Creed Whittemore. So definitely a lot of big names. Every single name there is either a four-star or a five-star, I believe, except for two. So definitely a lot of visits planned. Where do you guys – let's talk about Peyton Kirkland. Do you guys have a problem with the internet busting his chops, the Gators' chops a little bit for the food picture?
Nah, man, that kid just thinks at making plates, man. Yeah. Try to Peyton Kirkland, man. The play he made was egregious, but I've seen other
kids – that Vari's cousin?
He's related. Vari cousin was probably chefing up the mac and cheese for sure.
Okay.
Mac and cheese did look a little.
Aunt Lori was running back. It was a little runny
on the mac side, but the spread we had wasn't Jamaican bacon, bro. We had lobster. We had some fly stuff. I don't know what play he put together. You gotta love yourself. It starts with self love. Like University of Florida did nothing wrong. It was a great layout. He chose to make that plate, man, and I'm not going to defend that plate he made. It's on him, not us, man. But yeah. He said the food was great.
Yeah, no, food looked good. I mean, the plate itself did not look all that appealing. I did see the Caesar salad where he probably had the bowl of Caesar dressing on the top, and he just took the ladle and just right on top, one big pour. But shout out to Peyton Kirkland. Probably caught some unnecessary stray bullets by posting on Instagram.
Not to make no plate, but you learn how to make a plate, bro. It's an art to making a plate you're gonna put on social media. You can't be throwing things on the random styrofoam. You gotta be organized and make it look appealing, man.
I think I made a plate.
The risk versus reward not even worth it, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think it is. It was last Christmas or Thanksgiving. I made a plate, and I took my phone out, and I was like,
nah.
There's got to be something spectacular.
I'm like, even if this is delicious, and I think it looks good, 75% of the people that see the tweet will find something wrong with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It didn't have enough seasoning it wasn't proportioned correctly.
Even the proportions.
Yeah.
Okay, everything was fire, but you didn't have enough green on that. Okay.
You better have Paula Deen cook that plate, man. Put that plate together if you're going to put it on the internet. That's a fact, Jack.
I've seen too many people catch stray bullets for years. The internet doesn't forget your bad plate.
Vari's kids are gonna grow up in life not know why like their dad's plate is getting retweeted.
Our dad is a meme.
In 2050. Why is
it's gonna be dad's a textbook plate about dried greens and how to avoid it? It's just gonna be there. Oh man. Love Vari. Gators, like I said, do have a lot of visits coming up. Did get a bunch of crystal balls over the last few weeks as well for Treyon Webb, the running back, nice, as well as Jordan Castell, the safety, both four stars. Treyon Webb out of Trinity Christian, and then Jordan Castell out of West Orange in Winter Garden.
I get Treyon Webb. He's committed and decommitted twice before, but come on now. What are we doing here?
Yeah, he's taking his time, and I know that he's trying to commit one final time, and I know that Florida sits in the driver's seat, and I do think he's slated to commit, if I remember correctly, on the 30th of June. So that will probably be that. I know that the Gators are looking for two running backs in that group, and I did see the other day that maybe Alabama took the lead on Cedric Baxter. So it doesn't look like Florida's going to get Richard Young, and with Alabama being in the driver's seat for Baxter, that's certainly
– Baxter's going to move around a little bit, man. Yeah. It's an old-fashioned – you know what it is. It's an old-fashioned, you know, run up the bag. So that lead is going to change. What's the college decisions coming up? Is Malik Bryant choosing deciding soon?
I believe so. I know that he was originally part of the group that was going to all commit together, I believe, in July.
Yeah, I don't think he ever changed his date.
Let me see if we have. So he's visiting Florida June 10th. I already did. Pardon me. He's visiting Miami in a couple weeks. Visits USC this weekend. If I remember correct, July 23rd. So he's scheduled for July 23rd. I think that there was a few others scheduled for that date as well. Let me just scroll down here. July 23rd. Peyton Kirkland also on July 23rd. Janelle Aguero is on the 23rd. He's out of Massachusetts, St. John's Prep. He's the guy that we mentioned before is visiting this weekend, or visiting tomorrow, pardon me. And then I know one of the guys that was slated for the 23rd, Silk, in that group, pushed back.
I think two of them did. LeBlanc and Peyton Kirkland both pushed back to October 22nd.
Oh, did Peyton? Okay. Yeah. So LeBlanc, who we've talked about, visited UF a bunch of times. Then Peyton Kirkland be in October. So Malik Bryant, Gators sit in a pretty good position for him too. Looks to be, based on the visits alone, a Miami-USC-Florida battle with Florida probably in the lead.
And another D lineman, Will Norman. We haven't talked about him yet. He just finished his official visit this past week. And I think Florida's sitting in the driver's seat there.
Huge position of need.
Huge need.
Yeah,
huge.
Absolutely. We've got him listed at 6'4", 276. He's from New Jersey, but IMG Academy. We were told IMG Academy was basically California. Don't go there. Wasting your time. And it didn't take Billy long to flip that narrative.
And we do good with defensive tackles from the Southeast. I mean, Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Dominic Easley.
And Sharif Floyd.
Sharif Floyd as well. Yeah. And we had some more. We had Justin Trotto. We had a few. We had a few defensive linemen.
That's right. Trotto. What's he, a Jersey kid too?
Yeah. Yeah, Will Norman is a guy that I think a few months ago, when he put out his top five, a lot of people thought that he would be a Penn State lean and likely commit, but Florida's done a really good job of recruiting him and have really rised up his rankings his ladder as well. So would be a huge get for the Gators. Let me see. I don't think that he has an announcement date scheduled. He doesn't. Has only taken one official visit in West of Florida, so would definitely be a great get for the Gators.
It's trending a little bit. Y'all feel like a little momentum here? No,
I do.
I feel like a little momentum starting here. We'll see what happens.
It does take the dominoes to start, right? So, you know, Florida has a couple of good names, and I don't want to diminish any of those guys. You know, I really like Najee Harris. I think that he's going to be great. But getting a guy like Jane Rashada, you add him. You have Tryon Webb not far away. Even though I know a lot of people are higher on other folks, Tryon Webb is still a good four-star running back, right?
Absolutely.
You have Will Norman sitting out there. Who knows when he's going to commit? You have Malik Bryant sitting out there. You have Cormani McClain. You're involved with A.J. Harris and Tony Mitchell. You're involved with a lot of big names that you never know when that domino is going to fall for somebody else to make their – maybe that, you know, Jane Rashada makes an Aiden Mizell, you know, announce his commitment, right? So you start to get the ball rolling a little bit. But that's what Florida.
A lot of names, man, with decision dates on the horizon, bro. That's why I said it's a lot of momentum cooking. We're going to see what it is, man. Just vibe out, man. There's no reason to lose your. I do want Cedric Baxter. I do. I like where we stand in his recruitment. I think that's not going to be. He's not deciding to the very end. So let's just vibe. I think I like the way our offense is catered towards running backs. We just got to be ready to do what we got to do in the NIL market. And it seems like we're turning the corner with that as well. Regardless of how well Billy Nunn recruited Rashada, like you wouldn't land it. You're not going to land this kid without like presenting something very impressive in the NIL market. So
right. And he's a guy that could go to just about any school that he wanted to.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, I like Florida's chances right now. I did see that it does seem to be a Florida Texas A&M battle right now.
I called this on Twitter. I called this. Like, I like us, man.
I like us too. Ole Miss is like sitting there in the back seat, passenger seat, back seat, whatever you want to say. His brother did announce his commitment there last week. So again, you know, something to keep an eye on. There's no package deal.
He came out and said he wanted to be in Florida. Somebody, I think Chad Simmons or somebody came out and said that. Who wrote that? Was that on three? Was that Corey Bender? I read an article. Somebody said
that. I think that was Chad Simmons that wrote that lying, the other so day.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Never mind.
But that, or it could have been, I know it was one or the other, but I also know, I think it was Chad when Chad brought Miami in. But as of now, well, it does not seem like Miami is involved anymore.
Yeah, I just seen a quote from somebody. I didn't think Miami was going to be involved from a crystal ball standpoint, but I did see a quote from somebody that was quoting somebody from the family or a source saying that the kid wanted to be in Florida. But we'll see what Saturday. It's enough for Rashada.
Yeah. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Use promo code Stadium, get 10% off of your order. Best vacuum sealed cups in the game. I use them all the time, using them for about a year and a half now. I'm still in perfect condition. Keep cold drinks cold, warm drinks warm. Over 300 different schools that they serve, as well as NIL and player arrangements, golf, NASCAR, F1, all sorts of different things for you to choose from. Again, visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM. Get 10% off of your order. In other recruiting news, a name that we had talked a little bit about, speaking of IMG Academy, Jordan Hall, four-star linebacker, had announced a final five of Notre Dame, North Carolina, Michigan, Michigan State, and Florida. Took an official visit to Florida last week and announced this past weekend that he was committing to Michigan State and to Mel Tucker and the crew up there. That is not to be confused with the other four-star defensive tackle, I believe. Also, our defensive lineman, who's also a four-star and also looking at Florida and Florida State as well out of Jacksonville. So, but Gators do lose on one of the Jordan Halls.
I don't know what our board is like, so I don't really have a take. But on my personal linebacker board, I didn't have him extremely high, is what I would say. Then we're in it for Pup. We're in it for the Sammy Morris kid, a few others. So I don't know what the board is like to know if we missed or whiffed there. That's my take.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good take. I think that's a good take. All right. Saw this article. Want to get your all's thoughts on it, or I saw this question in an article. What are your top three position battles? If you were looking at the Gators football roster, what are your top three position battles that you're most interested in watching? Silk, we'll start with you.
Three of them.
You can pick one at a time.
Receiver,
kind of round table. Yep.
Definitely receiver. We just inserted two guys that should make that very interesting with the transfers and the addition we added to the 22 class. So receiver. Still the opposite side of Kamari. Not Kamari. Opposite side of Marshall. That corner position could be. I like Jalen, the way he looked in the spring game. He's on the slender side, but as far as being in position, footwork, to that other corner spot. And then linebacker, man. This is all defense for me, man. Linebacker is going to be very interesting, man. I want to see how it shake out with Dwan Black and Derek Wingo. Those guys look very good in the spring game as well. Ventrell Miller's back, so you know he's going to be leading the way. We're going to get a lot of leadership back in that spot. So those are my three spots, man. All on defense.
I have to echo cornerback.
I had receiver.
I have to echo cornerback. Is it Kimber Hill, Helm? I mean, Jordan Young had a great spring game. Does he factor in? They love Devin Moore as a freshman. So there's a lot of guys to fill in that last spot.
Right. Well, and obviously, you know, Ethan Pouncey and Jordan Young were highly recruited too. I mean, not saying that they're going to be, you know, jumping depth chart either, but you definitely have a lot of competition there.
I'll go with running back too. I don't know that the depth chart will matter. If you look at, you know, like the UL last year, they had, you know, three different running backs at 100 carries. And then you had four with over 100 carries if you add in the quarterback. So I don't know that the depth chart matters. But you've got a lot of running backs. Lorenzo Lingard, they love him. Montrell Johnson, obviously a young player, but knows the system. Almost ran for 1,000 yards as a freshman last year. How does he adjust to SEC? Naquan Wright, DeMarcus Bowman. Like, you just got a lot of dudes back there. So running back, cornerback. And then just to try to be different than Silk, to talk about a different position. Defensive line, especially the interior, who's next to Dexter? That's a position that I thought Florida probably needed to address.
You need Watson to get in shape in the portal.
You need Watson to get in shape. Chris McClellan, where does he factor in? How much can he play as a freshman? you need Watson to get in shape. I like Jalen Humphries a lot.
He was coming on towards the end of the season for sure.
Yeah, and I like Jalen Lee a lot. So like, there's Jalen Lee or
Humphries. I get those mixed up sometimes. Who was coming
on? Jalen Lee. I think Jalen Lee was more so than Humphries. Jalen Lee's a guy that I thought could, you know, start next to Dexter. So it'll be interesting. So that's a position for me to watch because it's like they say in baseball, you have to be strong in the middle. You have to have a good, you know, shortstop, second base, middle infield. You have to have a good center fielder, catcher. I think you need to be strong at the middle on defense as well. Absolutely. And I think you hit on that with Ventrell Miller. You've got some veterans back there at safety. Trey Dean's played a ton of football. And other than Dexter, who else are you going to be strong at the middle with? Dan, they haven't left you many positions there, buddy.
Well, no,
I do want to turn. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, no, I do. I do agree that those are all obviously names. Positions that I'm curious about too. I think one that we haven't talked about is tight end. You know, I'm curious to see what Florida does there. Obviously, say what?
Yeah.
Black, yeah. Like,
you mean the sixth offensive lineman?
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? Is Florida does not have a lot of proven players at the tight end position, right? I mean, you have Keon Zipper, who has done fine, right? I think that, you know, people may have expected a little bit more, and he can still come and do well this year, right? Dante Zanders did pretty good in the orange and blue game. What will you see out of him, you know, in an actual game? Question mark, right? Nick Elksness, obviously a guy that a lot of people are super excited about, gets injured, it's coming back. Who knows where he is, right? Jonathan Odom, you know, we've not seen anything, right? Florida does add a couple of transfer or a couple of recruits in that group. Hayden Hansen, a guy that came on real late, a guy nobody really knew a lot about. On3 has him ranked as the 108th, you know, best tight end in that group. You know, Tony Livingston, a guy that people thought might be an offensive tackle or an offensive lineman, obviously a great basketball player, but he's coming on board. And then Arliss Boardingham, right? Is he a guy that's going to move into that role too? So, you know, there's obviously a lot of questions about Florida, what they're going to do at tight end. It's obviously going to be very different than what you saw with Dan Mullen. But to me, there are a lot of question marks with not a lot of potential answers of really being a strong position for the Gators. Then I'll take one of each of yours. I think the wide receiver and how that truly shakes out, and then the defensive tackle position. I am very concerned about defensive tackle. I mean, the biggest concern that I have on Florida's roster right now is quarterback, not because of Anthony Richardson, but just because of what's behind that. But there's no position battle there. So, you know, I'll go with tight end, wide receiver, and defensive tackle for all the reasons that you all said. Let's see. Getting to the end of the show, Brad Wilkerson, don't think he's going to be able to make it tonight, dealing with a couple scheduling conflicts with him. But before we do that, we'll do two quick ad reads, and then we'll take us out for Song of the Week. I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit Alumni Hall. This is the last week that you can use our promo code, which is SG20. It wraps up on the 15th of June. I do want to say thank you so much. You guys really have used that code a bunch, have bought a lot of new things from Alumni Hall. They're super appreciative. They have a bunch of new things coming out. And with Father's Day coming up, get your dad a gift he really wants. Choose from Nike, Columbia, Peter Millar, or any collection of Gator accessories that they have, which is unmatched from everything that I see. Visit them at alumnihall.com. Make sure you get your dad and his man cave the gift that he deserves. Again, alumnihall.com. Use promo code until the 15th, 20SG, or SG20. Pardon me, until the 15th. You can use that both in store and online. So thanks to friends over at Alumni Hall. And Silk, got the Manscaped ad read for us.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to the great folks of Manscaped. Nobody doing grooming for men better than Manscaped. Ball deodorant is saving lives all summer. You know, if not, man, I probably fell out about 4 or 5 times, man. You know, just keep me cool. I got the regular deodorant, keep me cool up top. Ball deodorant, keep me cool down bottom. Everything's official. All groomed up with the Lawnmower 4.0. Keep everything neat and trim, man. It's summertime. Got the man hoochie shorts out, about mid-thigh. Gotta be groomed appropriately, man. If not, you're going to be Harry Larry and scare the ladies, man. Use coupon code SG20. We got to mix this up a little bit.
We got a lot of promo codes, a lot of different things. So Alan Horn Insurance, no promo code. Gramco SG25. Home field apparel, Stadium and Gale. Game time sidekicks, Stadium. Alumni Hall SG20, and then Manscaped.
20SG, we gotta
get with these people and consolidate. We gotta have some brand recognition. Just one.
No. Any sponsor that wants to come on board, feel free. Give us whatever promo code you want.
Dan's over here. If the money's there, anything, we don't care.
Anything but profanity. Yeah, we get anything that's not offensive. We can make a coupon code.
Boys, anything else before we?
No. I do got something special cooking up, man. I can't fully announce it yet, man, but I do got something very special I'm cooking up in Gainesville, August 13th. Some NIL work. The Roll Up Network is stepping into the NIL department, and we're going to throw something really big. You know how we do it, man. It's not going to be anything regular. Well, we like to entertain, put on a good show, and some vibes. So we're going to do something downtown, Gainesville. You know, you might want to move fast with these tickets because it's a top-tier player. Creme de la creme type stuff we got cooking up over here, man. Just be on the lookout for that, man. That's it. That's all I got. What do you got?
Nick, you got anything?
Silk, did you listen to Wellerman?
Oh, my God.
Bro, that song got a lot of complaints.
That's wild. There's people not respecting great music.
What do you think, Dan? You like that?
No.
Where you play that at? Now, where you play that? Is it crib in the car? Where you get that off?
I told you it got hooked into my algorithms, and now I can't get away from it on Instagram.
Instagram or TikTok? I know it's a big TikTok.
It looks like a TikTok.
So I don't have TikTok. So it must have like moved from TikTok to Instagram.
That's the normal progression that I'm like. I don't have TikTok either.
You're basically a Facebook person now.
Yeah, I know Brooke has TikTok. So every time she will put something on TikTok, a few days later we'll see it on Instagram. But the trail of virality is definitely TikTok to Instagram to probably AOL and then Facebook.
I had to draw the line somewhere. TikTok is where I drew it. And I was just like, bro, I do a lot of things on social media, but I draw the line at TikTok, dog. It's just that's really for like people that don't have no time on, got too much time on their hands.
Yeah, so I downloaded TikTok because like when you cover college football players, baseball players, you need to be on like social media because sometimes news happens there.
For sure.
And then I probably had it for a week, and I was like, listen, if someone commits or some news TikTok. Breaks on TikTok, I'll be second. I'll be second to that news. That's good.
I don't like when people like try to go viral, and that's all TikTok seems like. Everybody's just trying to go viral. You know what I'm saying? I come to social media for a bunch of try hard stuff, man. That's what TikTok just seems like, try hard all day.
I would agree. I mean, I'm not a big TikTok guy. It doesn't really appeal to me. I know that there's a lot of really cool niches. No, yeah, I do, right? Because it's a place you can flex, and you guys know that that's like something that I like doing.
It's good for benders, man.
That's a good point. But I feel like there's people that are more creative than me. Like, I mean, that's the thing about TikTok is I'll look at some of them and be like, how the hell did you even think about that? Or how much time, you know, goes into it? It probably doesn't take that much time. I mean, it shows my age and ignorance over it all. But I'll leave the creative stuff to the creative people. And I'll just be a volume shooter on Twitter, you know. Hope for one good tweet every, you know, 10 to 12.
Twitter is the greatest app of all time, man.
By far. By far. All right, boys. Song of the week. Whiskey Myers came out. They're having a new album come out soon. Me and Paul Sammons, our friend. You guys all know him. We're going
Shout
up
to Paul. Paul, what it do, baby?
We're going up with our significant others next month to St. Augustine to see them live. Paul got a
girl? What happened, man? What?
A wife.
Paul's been married. Yeah.
Paul's been married.
Yeah, yeah. Paul's been with his girl for 6 years, maybe longer. Been married.
Even at the Crab Balls?
Hell yeah.
That's a sneaky guy, man. I didn't know he was married the whole time.
What kind of snitching is this?
No, not that way. Yeah, no, we hang out, man. He just never talked about his wife, bro.
Feds.
Right, Nick, relax.
The feds.
They're blowing it out of proportion.
Relax, man. I'm just saying, like, this guy gave me the best seafood boy ever and never tell you. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah. Whatever. So Paul, myself, our significant other, we're going to see them live again next week or next month. So excited about heading up to St. Augustine, going up to the amphitheater up there. Heard some good things about it. So they have a new song called
Leon Bridges out there, and I missed it.
Leon Bridges? I love Leon Bridges, man.
I think he was at the same amphitheater, I think. Like, if he hasn't passed, it's coming up. I need to
check it out. I think it's pretty close to downtown, maybe a mile or two from downtown. It's supposed to be elite vibes. Super excited about that. I know it's gonna be hot as hell, so that's the only thing I'm not looking forward to. Yeah. But with good people and, you know, one or two Bush Lights, and if Paul's around, I know there'll be some Bush Light around.
Already,
we'll make it through. But they have a new song called The Wolf, so we'll play the new Whiskey Myers song, The Wolf. And boys, we'll see you at the same corner, same time next week.
Already.
Forever. I feel it in my bones, there's a change in the weather. Put me back in the saddle, out on the road. This way I make a living is the only way I know. You're messing with
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.